Welcome to the Best of Beaver County, presented by St. Barnabas, a weekly segment dedicated to putting the focus on the amazing things and the amazing people behind them in Beaver County. The Best of Beaver County is sponsored by and content is provided by St. Barnabas. The show airs every Thursday from 11 to 11:30 on WBVP, WMBA, 99.3 FM, and Facebook Live. Now, with no further ado, let's welcome host Mike Romai to introduce today's program.
This is Mike Romai, and this is the Best of Beaver County on the St. Barnabas radio station. Because our topic today is so very important as citizens try to make sense of the effects of dementia and memory loss to family members and loved ones, we've asked our guest today to return to continue the conversation. So please join me in welcoming back Jeff Bost. Jeff is a neurosurgical physician assistant and co-author with Dr. Maroon on the book Fish Oil, the Natural Anti-Inflammatory. Jeff has held or co-sponsored many symposiums and associated medical conferences engaging in all facets of memory care. Today we'll talk with Jeff about healthy living and memory loss prevention. Jeff, again, welcome back. And welcome to the show.
Mike, thank you. I appreciate being here. I'm always flattered by the introduction.
Well, you're held in very high regard around here.
Well, thank you.
Before we get started, Jeff, why don't you tell our listeners about yourself and your connection to St. Barnabas?
Well, for the last 5 years now, Dr. Joseph Maroon and I have been advisors to St. Barnabas relative to their memory care program. And as you know, we're going to discuss that at length today, and it's very important. St. Barnabas has taken memory care and dementia prevention as a number one topic in their facilities, all their facilities. And so we were very pleased to join in that project about 5 years ago, and it has evolved and really is culminating in a fantastic announcement that I'll give later on in our talk today about actually free evaluations for memory problems. So it's really become the high priority.
Well, Jeff, you know, when I think back on my grandparents, and I'm not talking 80 to 100 years ago, but, you know, many years ago, people were just not living as long as we are today. When did the medical community realize the phenomenon of dementia or memory loss?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, Mike. Aging is the highest or the largest risk for dementia or memory loss. So previous generations, in fact, we've actually doubled our living capacity or the length we live in the last 150 years. So the idea of dementia in previous generations was there, but it wasn't as common. So now we have generations that are living well into their 80s and 90s and longer. And so dementia has become an epidemic in some communities that have a large proportion of people that are older. And it really is affecting countries like developed countries like the United States and Europe that more and more people are suffering from dementia. But one thing I want to tell everyone, and it's probably the most important thing that I can say today, is dementia is not a normal part of aging. And I think that's something that everybody has to realize. And that's really what I want to talk about today. It's definitely preventable. There are genetic links, as many of us know, to certain conditions like Alzheimer's disease. But those are, in general, very rare compared to other causes of dementia, which are highly preventable.
Well, Jeff, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's really a topic that I want to talk about.
Yeah. Regarding dementia, are there any risk factors or contributors that can be ruled out, like being too young, diet, hereditary, or even environment?
There's a lot of things. As a matter of fact, we're very fortunate to live in this day and age. A recent article came out by Lancet, which is a premier medical publication, on a three-year evaluation of all the cases of dementia that they could find in the world. And they found the highest risk factor or the highest risk for developing dementia were associated with three modifiable factors. And some of them, some people can guess these, but I'll just go through them. The number one reason for dementia, and as I said earlier, was aging. But the most preventable, we want to live longer, but the most preventable was excessive alcohol consumption. So that really can cause brain cell death. The second one, which is head injury. Now, that can't always be prevented, but we have to be careful with falls and other things as we get older. And the third was air pollution. So our environment, the things that happen to us, have a profound influence on whether we get dementia or not.
Hmm. Jeff, I remember years ago when, you know, people used to imbibe a little bit too much, and they say, well, I killed off a few brain cells there. Actually, that's true from what you're saying, is that too much alcohol at any age could be a risk factor.
It definitely is a risk factor. Now, there are certain properties of, for example, red wine that I, along with Dr. Maroon, have written extensively on, that there's some antioxidants in the juice of wine. But overall, the alcohol is a toxin. I mean, you can light it on fire. It has properties that are toxic to the brain. Certainly everything in moderation, but we're talking about excessive alcohol, really can cause problems. And, you know, we don't want to have people live in a bubble. But the fact is, things that we can do to prevent heart disease, cancer, stroke, and Alzheimer's are quite simple. I mean, it's about healthy living, and that's some of the topics I'd like to go into.
Yeah, and you said something about head injuries as well. We hear most often about the concussions that professional athletes, especially football players, when they suffer from concussions. But what about in young people? Because they're playing soccer. It's not just football. You know, sometimes soccer, the kids take those headers and a number of other athletic endeavors that could cause injury. How concerned should parents be?
Well, I don't want to broach that too much, other than to say, if you ever sprain your ankle as a child, a couple times maybe playing sports, and then later in life you say, my ankle hurts. So the cumulative injuries that we have through our life can certainly affect us later on. And a matter of fact, oftentimes someone hurt their knee in their teens, playing football perhaps, and then later in life they end up with artificial knee or some kind of surgery. So, you know, the idea that a head that's hit may not have some issues later on, I think is not, is a fallacy as well. But, you know, we don't know. Brain science is new as far as concussion, and we are not able to predict, like the 200 years we know about diabetes and other conditions, exactly what the long-term outcomes are going to be.
Okay, Jeff, as far as the risks are concerned, can you recognize them as they're happening?
Well, a lot of people, you know, I lost my car keys, I must be getting dementia. And again, it's not a normal part of aging. So certainly we can forget or lose our car keys or forget a birthday. That is normal. Dementia and the diseases that are associated with them are, in fact, diseases. So they're progressive. They worsen over time. They're not subtle in the sense that I've lost my keys. It affects all aspects of brain thinking, whether it's the cognitive effects, whether it's the mood and memory, whether it's movement, the ability to speak, talk, all those things are affected. So dementias are typically progressive and are not, just a simple losing my keys type problem.
Hmm. So you lose your keys, okay, that's a one-off. You forget words or names or things like
getting
that.
Getting lost, leaving kettles on the stove, that can happen, but if it becomes a safety issue, these are things that often people, mostly family members, and especially with the holidays coming, people, we're going to restrict that relative to the COVID, but there are people that are coming back to parents' homes, older parents' homes, and they're finding that their loved ones are not remembering things and doing things that are out of character. They can't figure out the checkbook anymore, and other things that are signs that they need further evaluation.
So you're saying then that the contributors are cumulative?
That's right. It's not usually a one-off, as you mentioned. It's something that will occur and progress over time, and it becomes recognizable. People are good at hiding these things, of course, but it will become recognizable to close relatives, family, and friends. And that's really where we're going to talk later on in other episodes about interventions and things that can be done, including testing. The medical healthcare professionals can be brought in and counsel people about these things. And that's some of the things that I'd like to talk about later is how St. Barnabas is now offering some of these things free to the public for evaluations.
Certain life events, would they be a factor?
You know, things like depression, isolation that we're going through a lot in COVID is certainly accelerating those that are having cognitive decline as far as worsening. Mental stimulation, and I'm not talking about watching a television set, is really a key to keep your brain more active. Having hobbies, stimulating, whether it's music or other factors that can really play into life's stimulation of the brain. But, you know, there's everything we learned about heart disease, you know, about exercise and a healthy diet and avoiding toxins, all those things go to the brain because the brain gets about a third of our blood supply. So if you're not getting enough exercise and generating blood to your brain is going to suffer. So whether it's stimulation, lack of blood supply, getting toxins like alcohol, all those things play into the fact that dementia can progress as you get older.
Jeff, this year has been really different in terms of being able to get together with family members. This holiday season coming up is as well. Many people won't be visiting with their loved ones.
Right.
That's going to be difficult for family members to be able to recognize these symptoms in perhaps their parents or grandparents or even other family members for that matter.
Yeah, I think it's a huge problem that, you know, the holidays are when we get to see grandma and how things are. And, you know, that isolation has cuts both ways. You know, not only can't they recognize some problems that are going on, but that isolation and profound depression that can occur relative to long isolation is worsening the dementia. So, you know, there's electronic interventions that a lot of people are using relative to video chats and so on. But I would encourage family members to seek out, you know, counsel if they're noticing any signs and symptoms of dementia, because a lot of conditions, as I mentioned earlier, can be prevented. Things like thyroid disease, getting too much medications, depression, those things are interventions that can be, you know, reduce the symptoms of dementia. So it's really really good to check on your older loved ones.
So, Jeff, as a neurosurgical physician assistant, you see this stuff probably all the time. Is it something that are you noticing signs of more depression?
I think that depression is certainly being recognized not only in neurosurgical, but in PCPs and other healthcare providers that are on the front lines. I mean, COVID is sort of like a giant wave that is hitting everything in our lives, and it's certainly people that don't have the condition of COVID certainly are depressed by all the isolation and things that are going on. So I don't think it takes even a healthcare provider to recognize that this is really dampening society in many ways.
And when we see it in perhaps our older family members, there's always a bit of anxiety in our thinking that this is hereditary. It may happen to me.
Right, and that's always what people think about, and they really should. There are a couple genetic markers associated with conditions specifically, like Alzheimer's disease, that can lead to, if you have those, can lead you to higher risk for having, for example, early onset Alzheimer's, which, as I said, is only about 10% of the cases of Alzheimer's. So it is a very low, but certainly a risk that people can obtain genetic testing. But overall, those can't generally be prevented if it's genetic. So what I'm talking about primarily is the 90% of causes of dementia that we really now feel and believe that can be prevented.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to return after a short break and continue our conversation with Jeff Bost. This is Mike Romai on the St. Barnabas radio station. We'll be right back.
Are you still working on that retirement checklist?
I want to find the perfect place for us to live.
I want to golf.
I'm looking for lots of activities and lots of friendly people.
We need to find a place where security is a priority.
Top-notch medical services are important.
And we have to find a place that'll let us keep lucky.
Absolutely. Well, guess what? St. Barnabas has everything we're looking for, including free unlimited golf.
Let's arrange a tour.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Best of Beaver County on the St. Barnabas radio station. Let's continue our conversation with Jeff Bost, a neurosurgical physician assistant and co-author with Dr. Maroon on the book Fish Oil, the Natural Anti-Inflammatory. Jeff, we just discussed what some of the risk factors that prevent maintaining health were. Let's now focus on those measures that can counter these risk factors.
There's the good news about dementia, or that it doesn't, as I said, it's a progressive condition. So anywhere along that progression, you can have an intervention, so to speak, to try to slow the progression down. So there is now interventions that can definitely slow the condition at any point during that spectrum of the diseases. So all is not lost. And I think that's one of the things that senior care facilities like St. Barnabas are recognizing. You know, we're not going to just put someone in a room and let them sit there. We are going to continue to stimulate the brain through social interaction. We're going to continue to maintain good diets and exercise, things that can continue the brain function as long as possible. So, you know, once you have the condition, it is progressive. Prevention we talked about, but once you have it, what can you do? And obviously things like a healthy diet, avoiding toxins, not smoking, stopping excessive alcohol consumptions, all those things can have a benefit. Maintaining ideal weight. Hypertension is one of the leading risk factors associated with dementia. Now, whether that's a coincidence, because hypertension is very common as we get older, no matter what, but the fact is, things like diabetes and hypertension are controllable with medications. And if you're not taking those medications properly, you know, you're not really helping yourself. So maintaining the medication, seeing your doctor, getting checkups regularly, those are all the things that can be done to potentially slow a progressive condition.
How important is it to have a balance between diet and exercise?
No one should ever stop unless they're incapacitated. I think that, you know, I've discussed before that fall risk is certainly an issue as we get older, and that's primarily because of a lifetime of inactivity. If your muscles become fatigued and frail, if your joints aren't lubricated because of activity, you are at greater fall risk. So the idea is to prevent that. Start with short walks and gradually build, but exercise is really the key to maintaining brain health. There was actually a study that came out several years ago that looked at people that had mild cognitive dementia, which basically is early dementia, and they had them take a test, and then they had them walk for 1 minute, just 1 minute, Mike, and they came back and repeated it, you know, not quite the same test, and they all scored up to 50% better. So it really shows just getting more blood to the brain through exercise can really have a benefit. And then you talked about diet. You know, we have to have a diet that doesn't add fuel to the fire. So one of the conditions, for example, Alzheimer's disease, we know that the brain is inflamed. Those toxic plaques are there, and the body treats them like splinters in the brain, and it inflames the brain. And so by adding inflammatory diets, high in saturated fats, you know, excess sugars, those things will add fuel to the fire. So maintaining our diet, healthy diet, and exercise are really keys to this.
Well, how effective is Mediterranean type of diet?
Well, the Mediterranean diet really is the opposite of the American diet. I mean, not a lot of red meats. Getting a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, you know, healthy cheeses, healthy oils. These are things that have not really caught on in the general diet, where our major food, our major vegetable source in America is the French fries we get at McDonald's. So we have to really, it's a sea of change that has to occur. Because really we're entering an epidemic because of our aging population that's just going to continue to grow. And no matter how many facilities that are built, no matter how many people can stay at home as long as possible, it's going to become overwhelming.
The difference between the diet we have in America and fruits and nuts and cheeses, maybe some Americans can't eat this type of diet. Are there any substitutions for people like that?
You know, I think there's always a way, Mike. I mean, these are often, and it's a good point, there's allergies and so on, but it's often an excuse to not eat healthy. And I can't imagine there's not a way to do it. I mean, everybody's individual, but you really have to, you know, your physician can help, dietitian can help, but I think oftentimes it's just food preferences and things that you're used to.
Can you tell us about making right and wrong choices for brain preservation?
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing that we need to, that we've discussed, is that there's so much information out there that the ability to tell the right from wrong, it becomes a blur. And, you know, one article comes out and says this, and another article comes out and says that. So getting professionals involved, you know, whether it's your physician or others, reading professional articles, you know, knowing what is the right way, you know, can be confusing. But I think that the sound principles are that anything that you can do to benefit your heart benefits your brain. And so those are things like controlling diabetes, your blood pressure, seeing your doctor regularly, lowering your weight, exercising, having a good diet, mental stimulation. We've talked about how important that is. All of those things are the right choices. And, you know, the wrong choices are probably what we've done for the last 50 or 60 years relative to our health. Now, that's not everybody, and I applaud people who have taken this on themselves and told it to others over the years, but our society is that of sick care. We wait until we get sick. We don't have health care in the sense that we try to stay healthy. So it's more endemic to the system that we have.
Hmm. Seems like when we're younger, we ignore all these things, thinking that, well, I can catch up with it later on. Is there an age group in which people can and should pay attention to diet,
that's
exercise, and those
excellent
things?
Excellent point. You know, there's articles that come out and said, you know, that really review people from the time of birth to ages, you know, 70, 80, 90, and more, because every phase of our life is cumulative, you know, whether it's what we do in our diet or exercise or avoiding head injuries, it is definitely cumulative. But there are researchers that say that, you know, once you hit your middle age, 50-ish, you know, to carry excessive weight, to have uncontrolled diabetes, you may be on a course to having things like heart disease and Alzheimer's and dementia and things that, you know, are just going to happen because you've waited too long. Now, I don't believe that totally. I think anywhere in that spectrum an intervention can have significant benefits. I mean, we know now that people have smoked for decades who can stop smoking, and there is regeneration of lung tissue and other healthy things that can occur. So I think the human body is an amazing healer, but we challenge it to the extreme, and so I'd say start today.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing that you said, and I'm glad you said that 50 was kind of middle age. And I saw another report just recently that said there was that kids born today in this year, 2020, many of them will live to be 104, 105 years of age.
Well, you know, it's possible. You know, I don't mind living that long as I can. My brain is brought with me. So I think that those are laudable goals that we should look for. But I think, you know, we have to really, you know, without our brain, we're not really where we want to be.
Good
so
point.
I think that it's living longer is not as good as living quality of life.
Jeff, and in an attempt to do that, St. Barnabas is doing something now over the holidays that will help people, and it's more or less like a public service. What's going on?
Well, this is unprecedented in St. Barnabas history, and I can't think of any other senior facility that is doing this, but they've announced to provide free evaluations for people and their families and caregivers who suspect that they're having symptoms of dementia and memory problems. And it's initially a phone call. There's professionals that are manning lines that are going to go over some screening questions. And if it looks like that there are issues, they will schedule in-home evaluations. So it's all free. It's an evaluation that will look at your mental status, how you're doing in your home. You know, a lot of times a person can do much better if they're not responsible, for example, for feeding themselves. So there are reasons to be in some place where someone can take care of you. And other people, there are reasons for someone to stay at their home and have help come in. So those are a lot of assessments that family members have not been trained, and yet they're seeking that help. So the ability of St. Barnabas to provide this free of charge, I think, is phenomenal. So what we're recommending is you go either to the website, which is stbarnabasmemorycare.com. That's pretty straightforward. Or call 724-443-0700, which is a phone number that answers weekdays primarily, where a trained specialist will go over screening questions, as I said, to discuss memory care or memory problems and items like dementia.
And not that I have memory problems or anything like that, Jeff, that I'm aware of, but could you repeat that phone number?
Yes, I can. 724-443-0700.
Okay, very good. And that's for an individual or a family member that may be concerned about their loved one.
Yeah, I mean, I think even, you know, it's even a resource for questions. I mean, these are professionals that we know personally that are going to be manning the phones, and it's, you know, they're caring people that that want to help. And it's not, you know, it may just require some minor modifications, but, you know, they're there to give you the whole spectrum of what's available and what you may need. So matching up the need to what is available is really important.
Okay, very good. And is it recommended that maybe I take a 2-minute walk or something before I make that phone call?
Anytime you exercise, Mike, the better.
Okay. All right. Very good. But that's a wonderful service for people who may be concerned, and maybe once they do this and get the questions answered, may have no concerns at all.
Right. It could work out that way, but it's available. And
sure.
As far as I know, it's unprecedented in this area.
Sounds like it. One more time, the phone number?
724-443-0700.
Jeff, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today about this very important and life-changing topic, and for providing an outlet for us to recognize and better understand. Your advice enables us to offer the help and care that is really needed when this condition presents itself. And I know, as you said earlier, that you're going to have several installments of this type of dialogue.
Yeah, you get to hear me some more, but I think it's important information. I'm glad to share it.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Bost from St. Barnabas. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. I'm Mike Romai, and this has been The Best of Beaver County on the St. Barnabas radio station. Please join us again next time. Stay safe.
About your mom or dad, have you noticed a change in behavior? Forgetful and not as sharp? So where can you find help? St. Barnabas Memory Care is a wonderful option. Yes, St. Barnabas has helped thousands. Take advantage of their free in-home assessment of your loved one. A St. Barnabas professional will provide a no-charge evaluation of your personal situation. St. Barnabas can help you. Call 724-625-4000 or go to stbarnabashealthsystem.com/memorycare. St. Barnabas is a part from ordinary.
AM Beaver County is now on FM 2. Wake up with host Matt Dursick weekday mornings on AM 1230 WBBP, 1460 WMBA, and 99.3 FM. Thank you for listening to The Best of Beaver County. St. Barnabas is pleased to have provided content and sponsorship for the program. Tune in this Sunday at 11:30 for an encore presentation of today's program on Beaver County Radio. And next Thursday at 11 for another edition of The Best of Beaver County on WBBP. WMBA, and 99.3 FM.